God, just speak to us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just invite you into our midst today. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to what your word has for us today. We just thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do for us and all that you are showing us and instructing us and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked about the power of God's words, and I challenged you to, it's time for children's church. Sorry, I didn't tell them they could go. They're so cute. So anyway, I challenged you to include some of God's promises into your prayers. But I should have also asked you last week to sing or hum that song that says, Standing on the Promises of God. I can't sing, but do you remember that song? It's a cool old hymn. It says, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. And once you have that in your head, you just can't let it go. And so, yeah, I should have asked you to sing that all last week. So I have attended church almost my whole life. And even when I wasn't serving God, I would still attend church. And so I have heard a lot of sermons. And I have probably heard the sermon about Jesus walking on water and Jesus asking Peter to have more faith. I don't know. I've probably heard that like 75 times. And a lot of those were really great sermons. I've heard a few sermons about blessings. And in fact, I remember children's church when we used to sing about Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Do you remember that one? Okay, maybe I'm just showing that I'm really old because I remember all these really old songs. But they still mean something to me. But you know, seldom have I ever heard messages about the curses that are listed in the Bible. And so I started seeking that out. I searched on YouTube for old Derek Prince or Billy Graham messages about blessings and curses. And they're out there. You can find them. But this sermon took me a really long time to write because it's kind of a complicated topic, all of the blessings and curses that are in the Bible. And did you know that there are more than like 500 blessings in the Bible? And there are more than 250 curses? And so as we study the Bible, I don't think we can dismiss studying the blessings and curses that are listed. But definitely the blessings are more fun to read about, right? We want to know about the blessings of God. And Jesus gives us a lot of examples when he gives us the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Each Beatitude tells us how to be blessed by God. And blessed means more than happiness. Blessed by God can mean to experience hope and joy despite our outward circumstances, to follow Jesus no matter the cost. And it implies the riches given to us in God's kingdom. So let's just hear some blessings. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those are some beautiful blessings. Another example of God's blessing is found in Malachi 3. And this blessing I call God's math. Because I don't know if you know this, but God's math and our math are different. If I go to the grocery store and I give them $50, then they give me like $50 of groceries to take home. But that's not the way God's math works. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. Then all the nations will call you blessed. So this blessing is for abundance, right? But it's also for protection for what you already have. Because we all know that, like, let's say you get a raise at your job, and that's a blessing. But if in that same week the transmission goes out of your car and your washing machine breaks and a hailstorm takes your roof, you're really no farther along. So we need abundance, but we also need protection. Now, the blessing of Abraham is a different kind of blessing. And remember, I was just singing about Father Abraham. So let's get into what is this blessing that we sing about with Abraham. In Genesis 12, the Lord says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then God tells Abraham a blessing that he has for his wife Sarah. He says, I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Now, this is a special blessing for Sarah because it was Sarah's heart's desire that she have a child. And so far, she hadn't been able to have a child. But the problem is that at least for a while, she didn't really believe in the blessing that God bestowed on her. And so that caused some problems. But in Genesis 22, again, God blesses Abraham. And he says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of their enemies. And though your offspring, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So blessings often occur when we hear from God and we're obedient to him. And as children of God, we can bless others. And we should be saying blessings over our children, over our spouses, over our households. And Jesus blessed us. He took on the curse. Galatians 3 explains that anyone who relies on the works of the law is under a curse because we are unable to do everything that is written in the law. So in the new covenant, the righteous will live by faith. And the law is not based on faith. Christ redeemed us from this curse of the law. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ. So that's us. We share in the blessing of Abraham. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And this blessing, it shows us that God has always had a plan for us. He loves us. He has a plan. He is going to take care of us and bless us. Blessings underscore the depth of God's love and the abundance of his grace. And I'm so thankful for the spiritual blessings that God gives us. And as we study the blessings and the curses, we start seeing those. The whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28, it gives you this picture of blessings and curses. The blessings are for obedience and the curses are for disobedience. So this week, I challenge you to read Deuteronomy 28. It'll only take a few minutes, but it will give you, it will let you see our need for a Savior in a whole new light, because we can't accomplish all of the things that Deuteronomy 28 is talking about. And so all of those curses Jesus took on, and he gives us blessings. So that brings me to the topic of curses. And I already told you that I kind of had a lack of knowledge about curses. And so when I would hear that word, I would think of like a witch making a potion, and that's a curse, right? I didn't really know what it really meant. But really, blessings and curses, they are a vehicle of supernatural power. And there's this spiritual battle that goes on around us, and we cannot see it. But blessings and curses are part of that supernatural battle that goes on around us. Curses can bring humiliation, failure to be fruitful, sickness, poverty, defeat, oppression. And there are different kinds of curses. So there are generational curses, and the casting of curses from one person to another, or self-inflicted curses that we bring upon ourselves. And there's open doors. No, there are doors that we can open that can bring curses into our lives. And I never really thought about that before. Now, Proverbs 26:2 shows us that there is a curse, then there's a cause for that curse. And it says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not come to rest. So that means that if you are innocent and someone curses you, that curse is not going to stick, because there has to be a cause for a curse. Generational curses are passed down to future generations. So let me give you an example of a generational curse. King David had his sin with Bathsheba, and then there was also the murder of her husband. And so God declared that the sword shall never depart from your house. So this led to generations of murder and rape and betrayal within his family. For generations, this happened. Now, there are Christians that will say generational curses do not exist, that we just don't have those. But they will say that there are generational consequences. So an example could be if your parents had a drinking problem and you were brought up and that's what you knew, and then in your adult life you followed their path and you also had a drinking problem, then your life is going to be full of the consequences of taking that path. But I tend to take the Bible a little more literal. And in Exodus 34, it says, he does not leave the guilt unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents. Now, that's Old Testament. But I think generational curses have existed and do exist. But the great news is that I also believe that we can be released from curses. And so just because you live under a curse doesn't mean that you have to stay there. We are not required to have this curse just on us forever. And in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about how we can be released from curses. So there is hope. With Jesus, there's always hope, right? Now, let's talk about the casting of curses from one person to the next. So let's think about Joshua. And remember, he defeated Jericho and the walls came down. We talked about that the other day. Well, after Joshua defeated Jericho, he gave this oath. And he said, "Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay the foundations. And at the cost of his youngest, he will open the or set up his gates." Okay, so Joshua gives this oath. He doesn't want Jericho rebuilt. And 500 years pass. 500 years. And Ahab rebuilds Jericho. And so this is found in 1 Kings 16:34. And it said, "Ahab laid the foundation at the cost of his firstborn, Abiram, and he set up his gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub. In accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, these things came to happen." And I just find that amazing. 500 years go by, Ahab rebuilds, and that curse has not been forgotten. I have a couple examples of a self-imposed curse. The first one is found in the story of Rebekah. And in Genesis 27, verses 11 through 17, Jacob is telling his mom that he's a little uneasy about tricking his father so that he can take the blessing that was supposed to be given to his brother. And Jacob is telling his mom, you know, if I steal this blessing, instead of getting a blessing, I could be cursed. And Rebekah said, "Son, let the curse fall on me." And if you skip down to, I think it's verse 46, Rebekah says, "I am disgusted with living. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, my life will not be worth living." Now, these words sound to me like a woman who put a curse on her own life. She does not sound happy. She does not sound peaceful. I can give you another example of a self-imposed curse. It's found in Matthew 27. And here, Pontius Pilate, he's been asked to judge Jesus. And Pilate says, "I do not want Jesus' blood on my hands." And the crowd answers to him, "His blood is on us and on our children." That is a really scary thing to say. And it's a curse they're putting on their own children. We need to give our children blessings and not curses. Next, I want to talk about what I said, that there are doors that we can open and bring curses into our lives. So in my research, this is a list that I found, and I'm just going to read it to you. Witchcraft, horoscopes, fortune telling, covenants with demons, Ouija boards, and trying to communicate with the dead, tarot cards, astrology, occult meditations, unforgiveness, and pornography. So, yeah, there's that list. And I think I would personally add to that list listening to worldly music that glorifies Satan. And I think too many people today, they underestimate the consequences of listening to evil music. Music is powerful. Again, music is words, and we're putting that inside our bodies. And so if there is a musician that gets up on stage and he's dressed in a red leather outfit with horns and he's singing a song called Unholy, that music is not for us. And when the media was actually talking about, people were talking about how evil this performance was at the Grammys in 2023, people would say, oh, you're just overreacting. I don't know. I don't think that that music is for us. I also think that people have access to horrific pornography, and they have access to it all the time. And that the devil can use this like never before. This can destroy marriages. It can destroy families. And I think the addiction to certain things, it sneaks up on us. And so let's say you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't have a problem with, worldly music. I don't listen to it. I don't have a problem with pornography. But it's still something that should concern you. Because we need to understand the attack that young people are living under today. And as you're discipling others, you need to know about these attacks. And you can help break those curses that they're under. And as we disciple people, I'm telling you, it will come up. We can't have items in our house or our businesses that belong to the occult. So let me give you an example. Years ago, our family, we had a business. It was a Christian coffee shop and retail store. And one day, this group of young ladies came in, and they had tarot cards. And they were sitting at one of our tables, and they were having a tarot card reading. I think tarot cards help foretell the future. And my daughter saw them, and she walked up to their table, and she said, oh, you cannot have those in here. And the young ladies, they laughed at her, and they said, oh, you're just overreacting. This isn't hurting anything. But my daughter stood really firm on that. She's like, no, you cannot have those in here. Because not only was that our business, but we also lived upstairs, so it's also our house. And those things don't belong in where we work and where we live. And I think that's a trick of the enemy to say, oh, you're just overreacting. Nope, absolutely not. And I think we have to pray for discernment. God can give us the discernment of what's going on around us. So in Nepal, we have witch doctors. But you could recognize who a witch doctor is from far away. So the witch doctors, they would dress in bright orange. They would paint their face. And many of them would wear a fake serpent around their neck. And so when you saw them, you were like, oh, you know, they're evil. I mean, they just are. And so you could avoid them. And I didn't even take pictures of them. You could pay to take their pictures, but I didn't even want pictures of the witch doctors on my phone. But here, an evil teacher, for example, could look like just a respected leader. But it might be a person also that is drowning in sexual sin. And they've left that door open in their lives for these curses. And we're seeing that a lot. We're seeing respected leaders that are coming forward with their sexual addictions and sexual sin. It's not something we can take lightly. Because both of these men could be serving the same master. It's just that one, you when you see him, you know. And the other one is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you don't know. So again, we have to pray for discernment of who we're talking to and who we entrust our children's lives to. And don't let someone tell you that sin and evil are no big deal. You want God's blessings in your life. You do not want God's curses in your life. It is a huge deal. We don't underplay that. And again, the words that we speak are so powerful. Remember when Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus told him he would do that. But he said, oh, no, I won't do that. And he did. And later, Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loved him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. By the 3rd time he asked him that, Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. Why do you keep asking me that? But Jesus was leading Peter to say the words to restore him back where he needed to be with his relationship with Jesus. And so Peter's words were powerful at that time. So if you need to be released from a curse, you can also use your words in the form of a prayer in Jesus' name. Or maybe someday you're going to need to help guide someone else who is living under a curse, and you're going to need to help guide them to bring them out from under the curse and into a blessing of God. And when you release someone from a curse, there are things to remember. You know, the Bible tells us that what we release on earth, we also release in heaven. The Bible promises us that if we confess our sins and expect the blessing because of the work Jesus did on the cross, we can pass from under the curse and into the blessings of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that administers this blessing. So we need to be friends with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit, he comforts us in a way that is amazing. So I want to pray with you this prayer. It's a prayer of release. It's a simple prayer. But I'm going to say the words, and then I just want you to repeat after me. And like I said, if you are needing to be delivered from something, then just mean these words, and God will meet you where you are. And if you don't know of anything that you need to be delivered from, just know that you can lead someone in the future on how to pass from under this curse and into the blessings that they need in their life. That's one of the most glorious gifts that you could ever give someone. Someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling, right? So let's pray. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, and you are the only way to God. That you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. On the cross, you bore every curse that was due to me. That I might be redeemed from the curse and into the blessing. I confess my sins and ask your forgiveness. I also forgive every other person who ever harmed me or wronged me. I renounce any contact with the occult or evil. Now, having received by faith your forgiveness, and with the authority you have given me as a child of God, I now release myself from any curse that is over my life. I receive this blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are so good. Amen. The Lord loves you so much, and He wants you to be under His blessings. He wants only good things for His children. And today, it is my joy to say a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. So again, this week, I would love if you would read Deuteronomy 28 and just look at the blessings that God gives and look at the curses that we don't have to live under because Jesus became the curse for us on the cross. He took care of it. He took care of it all. I just ask that you go out and be a blessing. You know, in Abraham's blessing that God gave to him, it said that Abraham would be a blessing. And all of us, we can be a blessing to others. Tell him about Jesus.